Good morning.
Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings in the name of the Lord. We thank God for another privilege and opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. Thank Him for His goodness to us. Thank Him for all that He has done and all that we know that He's doing and going to do on our behalf. And just thank God for the saints who are here, those who are online, those who are on the phone. We know we've got some saints away, but we just thank God for all that He's done for us. Shall we look to the Lord before we begin our service? We always want to usher the Lord in and give His name the glory and the praise due unto Him. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, truly we look to Thee once again. We want to thank You for all that You have done for us and all that Thou art doing and going to do on our behalf. We thank You, dear Heavenly Father, for another privilege and opportunity to be in the house of the Lord one more time. We're oftentimes reminded of the word of the Psalms when He said, I was glad when they said unto Me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So, Father, it's a good thing to be able to come to Your house, dear Heavenly Father, and worship in Your name. Father, we thank You for all the people of God who are here this morning. Thank You for those who are unable to be with us. We realize, dear Heavenly Father, there are those who are traveling, dear Father, a special prayer and blessing upon Brother Byrene and his family. As they are coming back in, dear Heavenly Father, from out of town, we ask the Lord that You would grant them traveling mercies over the highway. We thank You, Lord God, for them and ask that You would continue to look down upon them with favor as a family, Lord God. Father, we thank You, Lord God, when we look out and we see Sister Holmes is in our midst this morning. We thank You for her. We thank You for her faithfulness, dear Father, to the cause of Thee. And we thank You for all that You have done for Sister Holmes and how You have blessed her, how You have been with her down through the years, dear Father, and ask that You would continue to look down upon her with favor. Thank You, Lord God, that she is able to be out, dear Heavenly Father, this day. We ask that You bless her body, spirit, mind, and soul. Remember her family in a special way as they care for her, Lord God. During her old age, we just thank You for that and ask that You would bless them likewise. Thank You, Lord God, for Sister Carol being here and ask Your continued blessings upon her. Thank You for all that You have done for this dear sister, dear Heavenly Father. Thank You for her sweet spirit. Thank You, Lord God, for her concern. Lord, concern for her family members, her grandson, dear Heavenly Father, and other family members that are out of the ark of safety. A special prayer for her brother, Lord God, and his family. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, You continue to be with Sister Carol and ask that You would continue to bless her as she endeavors, Lord God, to go out and evangelize and teach Your word and take Your word to others, dear Heavenly Father. We just thank You for her and ask that You would grant her travel mercies as she goes over the highways. Father, we thank You for Sister Regina, Lord God, and look out to see her here, dear Father. We know she had some appointments this past week, but we just thank You, Lord God, that You bless her, Lord God. She looks well in her body, dear Heavenly Father, and we ask that You would be with her, Lord, in a mighty way. Thank You for her daughter, likewise, Debbie, dear Father, who is also caring for her, dear Heavenly Father, and helping her, dear Lord. We just thank You and praise You, Lord, on that behalf, dear Heavenly Father, and ask that Thou would continue to bless our dear Sister Regina. We pray that You would look down upon her with favor. Lift her up, dear Heavenly Father, where she may be torn down. Strengthen her where she may be weakened. Father, we know, Lord, in the name of Jesus, You oftentimes, Lord God, will bring a request for Brother Darnell, dear Heavenly Father Lauderdale, and we ask a special prayer upon him, dear Father. Ask that You would be with him, Lord God, and bless him, dear Father, body, spirit, mind, and soul. Father, we want to thank You likewise this morning, dear Father. We know Sister Lillian won't be with us, dear Father, but she is here with us, Lord God, on the phone. We thank You for this, dear sister. We thank You for her sweet and quiet spirit, Lord God, and ask that You would bless her, Lord God. She's not feeling well in her body, dear Father, and we know, Lord God, if she was, she would have pressed her way to be here, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, when we say press, we know that she is pressing her way. We see her come in, dear Heavenly Father. We don't hear her complain, dear Heavenly Father, but we see her come in, Lord God, and come up those steps or up the elevator, Lord God, into the house of God, dear Heavenly Father, to worship, Lord God, Your name. And we thank You for Sister Lynn. We ask that You would grant our dear sister the desires of her heart. Pray, Lord God, that You would look down upon her, dear Heavenly Father. Be with her in her finances. Be with her in her home, dear Father. Lord, we know that Sister Lillian will give You the praise, the glory, and the honor. Touch her and heal her in her body, dear Heavenly Father. We know she was not able to be with us on Wednesday night, dear Father, and we dearly miss her, even though she's quiet, dear Heavenly Father. But, Lord God, we know her presence is felt there, dear Heavenly Father. So we just ask, dear Lord, that You would look at Heavenly Father, we thank you for her and ask your continued blessings to be with her. Likewise, we ask that you remember Sister Smith, Lord God, who's unable to be out, dear Father, but we thank you, Lord God, that she is doing well, dear Father. Thank you, Lord God, that you are blessing her, dear Father, and healing her, Lord God. She's anxious, Lord God, to get back to the house of God, and we thank you for that and ask that you would continue to remember Sister Smith in a special way, Lord God. Remember her dear Yolanda and her grandchildren, Lord God, and all those who are helping to care for her. Remember her dear Sister Fifi, Lord God. We know she was due in to have a procedure done likewise, Lord. She has cancer too, dear Father. So remember her in a special way, Lord God. Continue to bless dear Heavenly Father. And we know Sister Smith will give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor due unto name. Father, we want to thank you for our brother man, dear Father, being out this morning. Thank you for, dear Father, for his sweet spirit, Lord God, and his smile, dear Heavenly Father, upon his face, Lord God, to be able to be in the house of the Lord, dear Father. We thank you for this dear brother and ask your continued blessings upon him. Thank you for his family as they're caring for him, dear Heavenly Father. Ask your special prayer and blessing upon his son Joe and his family, Lord God, and his sister, his daughter, dear Heavenly Father, all, dear Father, under care of brother man, dear Father. We ask that you would bless. And Lord, we're not forgetting Sister Man in a special way, Lord God. We just pray that you would be with her, Lord God. We know, Lord God, she's ailing in body, but we ask in the name of Jesus that thou would bless her and be with her and touch her, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask a special prayer this morning, likewise, for Sister Fluellen, Lord God. Yes. We ask that you would continue to remember her body, spirit, mind, and soul, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we just pray, Lord God, that you would continue to look in upon Sister Fluellen, continue to be her guide and her direction, Lord God, and the strength she so desperately stands in need of, dear Father. Remember her family in a special way, Lord God. Father, we pray morning, likewise, that you remember, dear Father, all the saints who have gathered in the house of God. We thank you, Lord God, for our dear brother Levester, Lord God. We thank you for brother Maurice, dear Father, our trustee, brother, and even brother Robert, Lord God, and all the work that they do here in the house of the Lord. We thank you for them, and likewise, we thank you, Lord God, for their study of the word, dear Father. Yes. As our dear brothers are preparing, Lord God, for our upcoming Bible week in September, Lord God, we pray, Lord God, that you would be with them, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that you would bless them in their studies, Lord God. Open up their avenues of thinking. Open up, Lord God, that they get deeper in, dear Father, in your word, dear Father, for your people. Father, we thank you for all that you have done for them and ask your continued blessings upon them, dear Father. Lord, we know Brother Jackson, Lord God, always gives a request for his family, his desires for his children, dear Heavenly Father, and grandchildren, all of them to be saved, dear Heavenly Father. So, Father, we ask that you would grant his desire according to your riches in Christ Jesus. Father, likewise, we pray, Lord God, that you would remember Brother Reggie. We thank you for him being here. Thank you, Lord God, for all that you're doing, Brother Reggie, and ask that you would continue to bless this dear brother. Remember his companion, Miss Nancy, in a special way, Lord God. We thank you for her and ask your continued blessings, dear Lord. Be upon her and their other son, dear Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. Father, remember those who are back in the radio room, dear Father, or media room, I should say. Remembering Brother PJ, Lord God, we, Lord God, ask your blessings upon him and his family. Likewise, his sister Melita, dear Father, we ask a special prayer and blessing upon her and her family. Thank you, Lord God, for touching Jasmine. Thank you for touching on her body, Lord God. Continue to be with her in a special way, dear Heavenly Father. We ask, oh Lord, that you would bless all the saints of God, dear Father. We don't want to forget anyone, dear Father. We have many, dear Lord, who are calling in online this morning, who are listening in, and we ask a special prayer and blessing upon them. We pray for Sister Sandy and her family and ask that you would remember her in a special way, Lord God. Touch her and heal her in her body, Lord God, that she may be able to come out, dear Father, and be in the house of the Lord. Father, likewise, we ask that you would remember Sister Ruth, the same prayer, Lord God. We pray for her, Lord God, that, Father, you would bless her enough, dear Father, that she would be able, dear Father, to be in the house of the Lord, to sit, dear her Heavenly Father, amongst us saints of God. We thank you for this dear sister and ask your continued blessings upon Sister Ruth. Thank you, Lord God, as she sends in the little treats that she sends in for the children of God. We thank you for that and ask that you would continue to bless her in body, spirit, mind, and soul. Strengthen her, Lord God, in her walk, dear Heavenly Father. Help her to draw closer to you, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we likewise ask that you remember Brother William, down in Atlanta, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, his name is escaping my mind right now. But Father, we ask that you remember Brother Thompson in a special way, Lord God. We thank you for this
dear brother. Thank you, Lord God, for his faithfulness to your cause, and ask that you would bless him likewise. Be with him, Lord God, in a special way, dear Heavenly Father. Remember his daughters, Lord God, and their care of him, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask that you remember Sister Sanders, Lord God. We thank you for her. Ask your continued blessings be upon her, Sister Teresa, Sister Amy, and the grandchildren, Lord God, and pray that you would remember Sister Sandy's companion, dear Father. Oh, my God in heaven, we just ask that you would bless and be with your people, Lord God. Some of them, Lord God, are in areas, dear Father, where the virus, dear Father, is just raging, dear Heavenly Father. But we know that we serve a God who is able, dear Father, to put a shield of protection around his people, Lord God, and we ask it in the name of Jesus. Father, likewise, we pray that you remember Sister Vaughn, Sister Ferris Day, and her family, Lord God, and ask a special prayer and blessing upon them, dear Father, and ask that you would be with Sister Ferris Day, Lord God, as she's on her new job, dear Father. We pray, Lord God, that you would bless her, Lord God. We miss her dearly here in the congregation, but Father, we know that we hear her online, dear Heavenly Father, and we thank you for her, dear Father, and thank you, Lord God, for her sweet spirit, dear Heavenly Father. Sometimes her uplift voice, dear Heavenly Father, will just cheer you in your heart, dear Lord, when we hear and say out things, dear Lord. We just want to thank you for this, dear sister. We ask in the precious name of Jesus, likewise, that you remember Sister Marvinia, Lord God, there in New York. We ask a special prayer, blessing upon her. We thank you for this dear sister and ask that you would be with her. Oh, Father, we just want to thank you and praise you this morning, dear Father. Remember all those who are calling and all those who are listening in online. Remember Monty Johnson and his family, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, likewise, Lord God, that you would have them to come out to be in the house of the Lord, dear Father. My God in heaven, dear Father, we pray, Lord God, for your people, Lord God, to come together, Lord God, to come, Lord God, in fellowship one with another, dear Heavenly Father. You told us in the Word to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of such is, the more we see the day approaching, and we see the day approaching. As Sister was saying, Lord God, early on, dear Father, we're seeing, dear Father, things, the wrath is coming down upon mankind for their disobedience to your Word. Not only is it in weather, dear Lord, not only is it, dear Heavenly Father, in the storm that we just saw, people there in Haiti, a 7.2, dear Father, earthquake, all the devastation in the land. Father, we heard the other day on the news, dear Father, all the water in various places in Japan and down in the south, dear Tennessee, Lord God, flooding is happening on every hand. You are warning folks, dear Father, Lord, but people are still not turning over to you, dear Lord. My God in heaven, we pray in the name of Jesus that mankind will open up and know that you are God and beside thee there is none other. Father, we pray, Lord God, for souls, dear Father, who are laying in hospitals right now, dear Father, who are laying, many are on deathbeds, many are on ventilators, Lord God. Father, we pray, dear Father, in the name of Jesus that you will touch and that you will heal their Father, not only heal their bodies, but heal their mind and their soul, dear Heavenly Father. Help them to realize that time is winding up. The end is near. Yes. We don't know the day nor the hour, but we can see by the signs of time you are coming back. Yes. Help mankind to be ready to go when you come back. Father, we pray for our family members that are out of the ark of safety. We pray for our loved ones, our neighbors, Lord God, our co-workers, dear Heavenly Father, those who we come in contact. We pray for the lost souls this morning, that they will come to Jesus Christ, that they will hear the word of God and be saved from their sins. Father, remember some of our saints we don't see this morning. Remembering Sister India, Lord God, we don't see her this morning, dear Father. We ask in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would bless her and be with her, Lord God. Father, likewise, Sister Kiba, dear Father, we ask a special prayer and blessing upon her. Father, we remembering Sister Stephanie, we haven't seen her in a while, dear Heavenly Father. Oh, my God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you remember the saints of God. Father, likewise, Father, we ask that you remember the young man that used to come all the time, little Christopher, dear Heavenly Father. Haven't seen him in a while, dear Father. Haven't even seen him up on the streets, Lord God. But Father, you know all about this dear soul. And so we ask in the name of Jesus, that, dear Lord, that you would send him back this way, dear Heavenly Father. Remember all those souls, Lord God, that we have witnessed to that said they were coming out to the house of God. Send them out, dear Heavenly Father, that they may, dear Heavenly Father, hear the word of God. Likewise, we ask that you remember our things. We're still traveling in, dear Father. Ask that you grant traveling mercies over the highway. Continue to be their guide and their direction. Thank thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to be in your presence this morning. Thank you, Lord God, for your blessings throughout this past week. Thank you, Lord God, for all that you have done for us. We ask in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you get the glory out of our lives this morning, that you will be in the services, dear Heavenly Father, that everything that is said and done will be done to your glory and to your honor. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you right now. Amen.
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 Praise our God.
Amen.
Praise God. In your bulletin, you should have the song Sanctuary.
I want the Lord to keep us prepared always.
Amen.
Be a sanctuary for him. Wherever we may be, we are to be a sanctuary for him. Someone sees the difference in our life. We always want to be what God would have us to be.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with
God. Amen. In order for us to be a living sanctuary, then we must be pure and holy,
yes.
Even as the song poet said, tried and true. Amen. Thank God for his goodness,
amen,
to us today. Thank you for all his many benefits. He's been so kind and so loving and so wonderful to us. And it's just a pleasure, a privilege to be in the house of God today. Giving honor to Pastor Jenkins, thanking God for her, thanking God for how he has placed her, thanking God,
amen,
for his wisdom and knowing, because we're told in the Word of God that God sets the members in the body as it pleases him. And we're so thankful that it pleased God to place Pastor Jenkins as our overseer. Thank God.
Amen.
So glad for everyone who is here today. Amen. Our responsive reading is found in St. Matthew, Chapter 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. Matthew, chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Amen. And since there are
just three verses. We'll read them in unison rather than responsively. We'll read them all together. Amen. Matthew 28, beginning with verse 18, together. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Praise God. Praise our God. What a comfort and assurance to know that Jesus said, lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Praise our God. And we're so thankful to know that. Also to know that we can pray to him, and know we know that if we abide in Christ and his words abide in us, that we can ask what we will and it shall be done unto us and for us. We thank God for being able to abide in Christ. Amen. At this time, we'll ask if there are special requests. And before we give our requests, the Lord has laid on my heart to ask Brother Pierre Johnson Jr., Brother PJ, to render prayer this morning. So before the requests are given, I'm asking for those in the media room, Brother Pierre, to ask if you would come forward and render prayer after the prayer requests and after the hymn of meditation. Amen. At this time, are there special requests?
Amen.
So the request, those who are on the phone, that Sister Carol said to remember her family in prayer, and also to remember Sister Newby, missionary for Haiti, and she said she's very sick. So remember her in prayer. Sister Holmes. Amen. 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 Sister Holmes, thanking God for allowing him, for him allowing her to be here this morning, and just continue to lift her up in prayer. Amen. Sister Regina.
Monday.
Yes. Working, yes.
Yeah.
Amen. Sister Regina said to remember her daughter Deborah, who's been working to move out, get everything out of her father's house, which has been sold. So remember her. We know that it takes a lot of strength. So remember her much in prayer. Amen. Other requests. Brother Jackson.
All who can go on a missionary work over foreign countries, especially.
Yes. Amen. Brother Jackson said to remember all of those who are missionaries in foreign countries. As Brother Jackson said, that's a special work that God calls one to do. So remember them. Some of them are in countries where there's danger. There's danger, sometimes danger of warfare, sometimes of civil war, or just those that oppose spreading of the gospel. So remember them much in prayer. And Brother Jackson said to remember him and to remember his family and his household. Remember Pastor Jenkins and the preaching of the word today, that the Lord will bless her and empower her to preach the word that he has given to her.
Amen. Sister Blake, would you remember, Tamika called me and asked if we remember her aunt Vanessa. She is in the hospital with COVID on a ventilator.
Yes, yes. Remember Tamika, that's Brother Tony's daughter. She was here, I believe, the week before last. Remember her, her aunt Vanessa is in the hospital with COVID and is on a ventilator. So remember her in prayer. Amen.
Thank you for your prayers for DeAndre. DeAndre hasn't said much about work. He's so excited for the Lord Also, can you remember DeAndre's his cousin? His name is Lando. He had emergency. One day was emergency surgery yesterday because he is a diabetic, and I remember praying for him before his leg had an injury. They had to do some kind of surgery on it again. So can you remember him and his family? Because he is currently married by his wife and daughter. Can you remember his family?
Amen, amen. That was a request from Sister Maria, thanking God for blessing Brother DeAndre on his job. And things are quieting down a little bit. He's still busy, but things are quieting down a little bit with people being, you know, unruly and so on. We thank God for blessing Brother DeAndre on his job, and also to remember Brother DeAndre's cousin Lando, who had to have emergency surgery on his leg. He had surgery before, but now he's having to have surgery again. So remember him much in prayer. She said he's married and has a home, and doubtless, you know, when you're married and have a home, you have to work. And so remember him much in prayer. She said he's diabetic and may be related to that. So remember his cousin Lando much in prayer. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. Sister Maria said, remember Tatum. He'll be starting at in preschool at the end of this month. And it's scheduled, originally they thought it was going to be September, but it's going to be at the end of August. So remember him much in prayer. She said, remember the teachers, his teachers much in prayer, the other children much in prayer as well. And she said, mainly the teachers. And remember Sister Maria and Brother DeAndre as they're, you know, shopping, school shopping, and trying to get him ready and so on. So just remember them much in prayer. Amen. Amen. And remember Liam also. Amen.
Sister Blake, thank you for your prayers for my mother's sister there in Texas. We know she's doing better, but she had a stroke, so she's still not able to talk. And so she's not going to be able to live on her own anymore.
Yes.
But remember her in prayer. Likewise, remember my mother's other sister in Macedonia. She's doing well, but her daughter has cancer, and her daughter's husband had a big hole in his leg and
my
had surgery. So just remember them all in prayer.
Yes.
His name is Tim. Her name is Silmarie.
His name is Tim. Her name is Silmarie. And your aunt in Texas is?
Lorraine.
Aunt Lorraine in Texas. Amen. Had a stroke, and she would not be able to live on her own. So remember her much in prayer, and all the family in Macedonia, which is not too far from Cleveland, correct? Not too far from Cleveland. Amen.
Mr. Blake, I'm going to get I just want to say I thank the Lord for his many blessings and all, and just thank you for nature. I was out cutting the grass and kept seeing all these little eggs. They were on the sidewalk. They were in the driveway in the grass, and I thought, where are all these little eggs coming from? Well, I was out doing Bible study, and I told you I normally sit on the back porch on Saturday, and that morning, and I looked over, kept hearing all these tweeting. And I looked over, all these little birds
are now of swine. And I just said, well, bless the Lord. I said, there's where all the eggs came from. I mean, they were all over my yard and driveway and things. I just want to thank the Lord for nature. You
they
know,
were open. I mean, they were.
The birds were. Yeah,
they were the
eggs,
shells, the empty
shells. They were empty shells. And I kept seeing them in the yard. I thought, where are these little shells coming from? Well, the Lord blessed, and he answered me that next morning or a few days later when I was sitting out there doing Bible study that morning. I kept hearing all these pleading in the trees right beside my deck, and I looked over, and there's all these little birds just flying around. There must have been five of them just flying around in this tree. And the Lord, and I just looked, and I said, well, bless the Lord. I said, there's where the eggs came from.
Amen.
So just a thank you. You know, to see nature. God, he blesses us with the nature, the birds and all. And I said, you hear tweeting and all that kind of thing. But just to see them, it was just, you know, they're cute. They're little tiny things. So,
amen.
Lord bless.
Amen.
So thank the Lord.
Amen. That's why in Sunday school we often sing that song, This Is My Father's World.
Yes.
And to my listening ear, all nature sings and round me rings.
Amen.
The music of the spheres.
Yes.
The God is God, is a mighty God.
Yes.
Amen. All general requests. Amen. I need something from the Lord. After the hymn of meditation, we'll look to the Lord, and as Brother Pierre Johnson takes us to the throne of grace. If anyone has a special request, may bring it to an altar of prayer.
So we turn in our evening light to page 445. Hurry and tell him. 445. We'll sing verse 1 and 2 and then the chorus, 3 and 4 and then the chorus. 445 in the evening light. Hurry and tell him.
Ask and it shall be given you, brother. He is the Lord who cares for all. Come with your heart all broken and bleeding.
Look to the Lord.
Praise God.
Father, I call upon you this Lord's Day, God, thanking you for all your manifold blessings,
Amen.
Asking the Lord that you speak through me your word, Father God.
Amen.
Praying now for the prayer, thankful for, dear God, that we can always call upon you,
mm-hmm.
no matter what the situation is, good, bad, or sad, Father God.
Jesus.
We can look to you from whence cometh our help.
Praise
Father,
God.
As we come to you this day with humble hearts and looking to you, to come with our help, Father God, asking for help, Father God, asking you, dear Lord, to look upon each and every one of us, Father. I've heard some of the prayer requests and don't remember them all, but Father, you know my heart, Father, that we care about each and every one, that you heard them all as we spoke them, Father God. And even though they were unspoken, Father God, you know about each and every one, Father God. And we ask, dear Father, that you look upon those who are sick, Father God.
Yeah.
Lord, COVID has taken over and taken a strong hold upon mankind, and you know all about it, Father God.
Yeah, yeah,
and we just surrender to your will, Father God. But we ask, Father God, that you touch those that are in pain and suffering, Father God, our loved ones, Father God, and those that are affected from this situation, dear Father
God.
So, Father, we ask that you just touch our family members, touch our, even our own hearts, Father God, that
Amen.
Just look to thee from which cometh our help, Father God, to comfort us, Father God.
Yes.
Look to thee for
yes.
comfort, dear Lord. And you may not understand what the situation is or why we're going through what it is that we're going through
yeah.
or others that are our family members because our heart cares for them. So we're aching because they're in pain, Father.
Yes.
So, Father, we just ask that you help us, Father God, along the way. Dear God, we ask you to be with each and every one, Father God. Remember Sister Carol, Father God. Lord, you know where she stands in need of, Father God. Lord, don't remember the request, but, Father, continue to touch her. Bless her, Father God, every step, Father God. We ask that you touch her from the crown of her head, dear God, to the soles of her feet, dear Lord. We know, dear Father, that every step she takes, she's thankful for, dear God. In like manner, Sister Regina, Father God, our sister, Father. Lord, we continue to ask blessings upon her, Father God, as she's living alone as well, Father God. And they're up in age, Father God, and things don't go the way we always look for them to go, Father God. But, Father, we know that we continue to trust in thee, Father God, and we continue to thank you for each step, Father God, and mistakes along the way, dear Father God. We just ask you to show us and help us learn from them, dear Father God. So, Father, we ask, dear God, that you help us, Father God, each and every day, dear Lord. Father, we ask you to remember Brother Jackson, dear God, Brother Levester, dear Father. Lord, you know what he stands in need of. Bless him and his household, Father God. Father, we ask that you continue to remember his children, Father God. Remember each and every one of them, Father God. You know what they all stand in need of, Father God. And speak to their hearts and mind, Father God. For they grew up knowing the word, Father God. So, Father, let them not depart from it, Father God. Let it not depart from their hearts, Father God. Continue to prick their minds and their hearts, dear Father God, and remind them upon different things, dear Father, that they were taught, dear Father God. So we ask, dear Father, that you continue to bless them. Continue to remember Brother Maurice, Father God. Lord, you know what he stands in need of. We're thankful
Amen.
For him, Father God. We're thankful for the, Lord, his eagerness, Father God, and his strength, Father God, and his willing to learn and to jump in where he's needed, Father God.
Amen.
And even teaching to Father God. Lord, we ask you to continue to bless him with studies, Father God, that he shows us different points that you've shown him to bring out, Father God, for we may not have thought of it that way. And he's brought out a strong point in something, Father. So we ask you, Father, you continue to bless and strengthen him and his wife by his side, dear God. You know what she stands in need of as well, Father God. We're thankful for the dear sister. Father, we ask you to continue to bless her as you have done down through the years, dear Lord. We ask you to continue to remember Sister Maria, Father God, and Brother DeAndre as they're bringing up two young boys, Father God. And you know with how society is about our children, Father God. So, Father, we ask that you bless in that manner, Father God. And Tatum is entering the world of school, God, and learning different things and learning new things and how to act, Father God. So bless him, Father God. Bless the teachers, dear God. Continue to touch him, Father God. Continue to speak to his heart, Father God, and show him the right way to go, Father God, as Sister Maria and Brother DeAndre are trying to raise him up in the way he should go, Father God, and help him to remember those things, Father God. We know he's active, and we're thankful for it. You gave him to us this way, and we accept him as that way, Father. But just help us, Father, continue to guide him, Father God, in the way that he should go, Father God, and give us the grace and the wisdom that we need to raise our own children, Father God, and even with myself, with my daughter, Father God, and of my household, blessed in a mighty way, dear Lord. Yes. Continue to remember each and every one, Father God. Lord, remember Sister Holmes, dear God. She may have said something, a prayer request, but I don't remember, but Father, you know all about it. Father, you heard her heart, dear God, and you know all about it, Father God, the situation or whatever it is that she may stand in need of, Father God. Continue to touch her in her body, dear Lord. You know each and everything that she stands in need of, Father God, and what she's thankful for and what she's standing in need of, Father. So we ask that you bless. And remember those who aren't here, dear God. Remember them in a special way. Remember those that are under the sound of my voice, even those that are in the building that cannot hear me, Father God. We ask that you just bless, Father God. Bless each and every one of us, Father God. Bless everything that we do to be to your glory and honor, Father God. And remember those that are on the radio, Father, or via phone, for Father, or the internet, or however they're hearing this message, dear God. Lord, bless them. Continue to remember our pastor. Bless her, dear God. You know what she stands in need of. You know how she fights for the saints, dear Father. And I'm not saying physically. I'm saying spiritually, dear Father. I'm asking, Father, that you bless her and how she helps each one of us, Father God, with whatever situation we may bring to her, dear Father, and even in her own household. Help her, Father God. Bless her husband by her side. Excuse me. Father, bless and have them divine way, dear God. We just ask you, dear Father, to be with us, dear Father. Help us through this life, Father God, that you've given us, amen, dear God. Amen. You know we need you every day, every moment, amen, of the hour. The enemy is on our side at every step of the way, not even just even in step. From the moment we wake up to the time we lay back down, even in our dreams, dear Father, things happen. And we just ask, Father, for you to surround us with your hand of protection and mercy, Father God, as we go through life, dear Father, Lord, in different ambitions and things and hopes and dreams that we each strive for, Father God, and not only in our walk with thee, dear Father, but in our individual life, things that we would like to do, like to see, like to go, Father, we just ask that you bless, Father God. Show us where to go, where not to go, Father God. When to go, when not to go, Father God. We just bless you, extra, Father, that you would bless in every situation and thought, dear Father, that we have, Father. Just pray, dear Father, that you would continue to remember our loved ones overseas, Father God. We have some in our immediate family, dear God, and those in the extended family. And each one, not my family, but each one that's here, Father, that's represented. Father, remember those loved ones that are overseas. As Brother said, that it's a special person that is called over there and to fight for our country and for different things. So, Father, we just ask you to bless even our government, Father God, as you know how we feel about it individually and as a whole, collectively. We just ask you to bless. They need you even more now so than ever, dear God. So we should bless each person from the top down to the bottom, Father God. Just have them divine way. And these and all blessings we ask in your precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What a blessing.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Thank God for the spirit of prayer.
Amen. Beautiful.
Amen. Praise our God. Thank God. So many times here we say that the Lord speaks to us through a message. The Lord can also speak to us through a prayer.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Amen. Prayer that's rendered. Thank God. Thank God for it. His spirit felt. Amen. And before you to lift the morning offering, this is the third Sunday of the month. So the special offering for today is for the food pantry. And so the offering for the food pantry may be placed in the center plate, and your tithes and other offerings may be placed on either side. We'll look to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful, dear God, for the foregoing prayers, dear God.
Amen.
So thankful, dear God, for your people, dear Father, who can touch your throne, dear God.
Yes.
Lord, who can touch your heart, dear God, with prayers, dear Father. Lord, we thank you, dear Father, that you hear from heaven, dear God, and you, Lord, will answer our prayers. Lord, we thank you, dear God, for all that you have provided for us, dear God. Knowing, dear God, that there's nothing, dear God, that we have done, Lord, but you have provided, dear Father, all of these wonderful gifts, dear Father, to us, and we give you glory. Now, Lord, as we bring our tithes and offerings, dear Father, into the storehouse, Lord, we pray, dear God, your blessing upon them, dear God, and upon us, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would use these offerings and tithes to your glory and to your honor, and that, Lord, you would teach us, dear Father, what we must do with them, dear God. Lord, that we might serve you acceptably, dear Father. Lord, we pray, Lord, you would bless and cause each giver, dear Father, to prosper, Lord, in their very soul, dear God, because of obedience to your word. And your name, which is worthy, shall receive glory and praise, as we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
There is peace and joy in the Lord today. More than all in this world of sin, there's a happy love in the holy way. Praise the Lord, I have entered in. Praise the Lord, I am free in his love and grace. Oh, his love. In his sacred and holy word, praise the Lord, I am free in his love and grace. Oh, his love, reach a sea, I abide beneath his smiling face, since my cross is on and my heart is right. Oh, how blessed to do his will. Now his yoke is easy, his burden light, and his spirit my soul doth fill. Praise the Lord, I am free in his love. I abide beneath his smiling face. overcome when you would do right. If a deep-making void went in, there's a thing of you and a sinful flight that will keep you from entering in. Praise the Lord.
Our next song is It Satisfies My Soul. I received a call from Sister Holmes and asked that we please would sing this song. And I told her we move our song and we'll sing this song. She had requested this song because of the new converts. She says she wanted them to be encouraged to stand and to run on as we who are other saints have stood and ran and stood on and stood for the Lord and ran on. Excuse me. And so I told her we would sing this song this morning.
It satisfies my soul.
One, two, three, four, one, four, five, six, four, and then we will continue.
For me, the blessed Savior came, his great salvation to proclaim. Oh, glory to his precious name. It satisfies my soul. Salvation is unmeasured grace. It fills for the Christian race. Unveils the Father's smiling face. It satisfies my soul. Salvation brings supreme delight. It changes darkness into light and makes the Christian pathway bright. It satisfies my soul. It satisfies my belly soul. It satisfies my belly soul. It's wonderful salvation. How it satisfies my belly soul. Salvation brings abiding peace. It shining glory. Its flowing rivers never cease. It satisfies my soul. Salvation makes us happy here, surpassing all that earth holds dear, and fills a drooping heart with cheer. It satisfies my soul. Salvation richer and gold, then glittering gems that turn to mold. Its wealth no language e'er has told. It satisfies my soul. It satisfies my healthy soul. It satisfies my healthy soul. It's
how it satisfies my happy soul.
Great.
Amen. Amen. If you can't be satisfied with salvation, you just can't be satisfied. Praise God. Amen. Praise our God. Thank God for his goodness. Thank God that we can praise him. Thank him for this wonderful salvation. Realizing how precious this great salvation really, really is. Amen. Richer than gold.
Great.
Or glittering gems that turn to mold. It's wealth no language air has. So we were talking about language and translating in the languages in Sunday school. There's nothing more precious than salvation. Praise our God. Amen. So thankful this morning to be here. Thank God for all the saints. Thank God for the prayers and for the songs of praise. Now we want to hear from the mouth of the Lord, from the heart of the Lord. So shall we stand for a moment to offer a word of prayer before Pastor Jenkins comes before us? Yes, yes. Amen. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, dear Father, for, Lord, the privilege of worshiping you in the beauty of holiness, dear God. Father, we pray, dear God, Lord, your blessings upon the furtherance of this service. Lord, we ask, Lord, your blessings upon Brother PJ, dear God. Father, he went to pick up Sister Kiba, dear Father. And so we thank you, Lord, for the prayer that he prayed, Lord, to your throne. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you would bless him, keep him safe, dear Father, even as he went, Lord, to pick up Sister Kiba, Lord, that she might be present in this service. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would bless and have your way, dear God, in the preaching and hearing of your eternal word. Lord, we ask, Lord, your touch upon Pastor Jenkins, dear God. Pray, Lord, that you would just empower her, dear God, to preach your word to us, dear God. Lord, to all who are listening, dear God. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would speak to our hearts, dear Father, and help us, Lord, to be obedient, Lord, to the word, Lord, that you are preaching to us this day. Lord, oftentimes, Lord, in your word, dear Father, you said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. And the church will say, amen. This we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and for our sake. Amen and amen. Pastor Renee Jenkins.
Good afternoon. Giving glory and honor to God. Truly, we thank God for another privilege and opportunity to stand before you. God for Sister Blake, giving honor to her, all the work she does for the Lord. She takes a back seat, and I just thank God for her and ask that you would continue to pray for us as we endeavor to be all God would have us to be. Remember those saints who are normally here. Without quite a few today, but that's all right. He said, where two or three are gathered in his name, he'd be missed. And we have more than two. We have more than three.
Amen.
So we thank God for that. Amen. God is a great God.
Yes.
Loves us. Cares for us. He's provided for us this past week. Allowed us to get up this morning to see the dawning of a new day.
Amen.
Gave us the activity and use of our limbs. What more could we ask? Amen. Thanking
Amen.
God for everything. As far as we know, each of our family members are still in the land of the living. As Brother PJ, thank God for him. Thank God for the prayer he blessed
Amen.
The dear brother with. The brother said, even when we're dreaming and sleeping at night, my
uh-huh.
God, praise our God.
Amen.
He wanted God to be in our thoughts and in our mind. And we thank God for that and just ask God's continued blessings. In our hearing this morning, we read Matthew, the 28th chapter, 18 through 20. I trust you have your Bibles with you. We would like to go back to the script text to get the subject that the Lord has laid on my heart to share with you today. Thank God for his word. I thank God for the Sunday school lesson that we had this morning, our Sunday school quarterly. I thank God for it. It's truly been a blessing for each and every one of us. And I want to say I thank God for those who listen in.
We would like to go back to verse 19 of Matthew 28 to get the subject that the Lord has laid on my heart to share with you today. Amen. Lord bless. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. As the Lord grants me liberty this afternoon, I would like to share some thoughts with you on the subject, a divine message. A divine message. We just sang the song, Salvation. It satisfies my soul. We just sang how salvation is unmeasured grace. Salvation brings supreme delight. Salvation brings abiding peace. Salvation makes us happy here. Oh, it surpasses all that earth holds dear and fills the drooping heart with cheer. It satisfies my soul. And as the people of God, we have been given a divine command to go and tell this world about Jesus. To tell the world about salvation, about the message we are to share is the gospel message of salvation. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to the world and as the Savior to open a way of eternal salvation for all who will receive him into their heart. We are told these words in Luke, the 19th chapter, verse 10. He said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. John 14, verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, he came to make a way for lost sinners to get to Almighty God. He came to save us and give us a message of salvation that we could share with this old lost and dying world in which we are living right now. And when our Savior came and died, he achieved every purpose that God had sent him here to do, that he had came for into this world. When he said while hanging on the cross, it is finished, he meant to bring to an end. He brought everything that God the Father told him to do to completion. He finished the work that the Father in heaven sent him here to do. He told us these words. Turn with me for a moment to John the 6th chapter and look at what our Savior says there in John 6. Verse 38, he said, for I am came down from heaven. Do we believe that this yes. afternoon? Yes. That he came down from heaven not to do my own will, but he said, but the will of him that sent me. Praise be to Almighty God. And he went on to say, and this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing. Oh, praise our God, but should raise it up again at the last day. You see, that is why he could say on the eve of his last day on this earth these words to his Father in John 17. Look at what it says, starting with verse 1. I know you Bible students know this scripture quite well. I know we've gone over it many times before, but look at what Jesus said to his Father. These words that he said there, he said, Father, he said, the hour has come. He said, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. He said, as thou hast given me him. He went on to say, power. He said, over all flesh, and that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. See, Christ came to give life to men. That was his purpose when he came. That was his purpose for coming and dying on the cross. Our dear brother Maurice, after our Sunday school lesson this morning, during our review, he began to talk about in the reason when Jesus came. He let us know in his review part. He was telling us about how God already knew in the beginning that mankind was going to sin, and God had already set into motion the things that needed to be taken place in order to redeem mankind back from sin. Oh, you think about it, saints of God. It wasn't a second thought of Almighty God, but it was a forethought of Almighty God. He already knew, and our Heavenly Father already had it planned out that I'm going to send my Son down to redeem mankind by. Why? Because the Son of God was the only one that was worthy to redeem us back to Almighty God. Look at what it says in verse 3 of John 17. He said, and this is life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Praise be to Almighty God. You see, there's no other messenger that's going to come upon this earth and walk the shores of Galilee and to tell mankind about salvation. Oh God, that is not going to happen again. Jesus has already come and he has already gone back to the Father. We better receive what he came and done and left on record for all of us to come to Almighty God. He said in verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. Praise be to Almighty God. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Jesus Christ finished everything that God gave him to do. He went on to say, and now, O Father, praise be to God. He said, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Praise our God. He prayed for the restoration of his glory with his Almighty God, his Father in heaven. You see, the message that we take to the street, saints of God, is a message of salvation in Jesus Christ. It is one of deliverance from a lifestyle of sin. Sin robs a soul of peace. It separates the soul from Almighty God. This world we live in right now is full of hurt. People need a message of hope. And that hope that is needed is not a wishful hope, such as I hope to get a new job, or I hope to get a new house, or let me cross my fingers and hope it comes. No. Biblical hope is a confident expectation that God we serve and what he has said in his word will come to pass. Turn with me to Hebrews, the 6th chapter, and look at what tells you and I in the word of God. He says there, starting in that 17th verse, he said, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel and confirm it by an oath. See, God confirmed it by himself, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. Praise our God. Meaning we have a strong spiritual hope in Almighty God, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Oh, do you have this hope this afternoon? Is your hope in Jesus Christ, or is it in the things of the world? He went on to say here, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. You see, the Hebrew writer in this passage of scripture was letting us know that as Christians, we possess this biblical hope. And the hope we have is based on two unchangeable forces: God's promises that he will keep his word because he cannot lie. And his oath, he has sworn by himself that what he has promised will come to pass. Praise our God. Oh, saints of God, I don't know about you, but I believe that's a powerful message within itself. You see, in a court of law, men swear by God. Therefore, if God is going to make an oath, he swore by himself, since there is none greater than Almighty God. In other words, God stakes his reputation. God stakes his name, his ability to do what he said he would do in the word. And yes, our God has kept his word.
Amen.
Praise God. How many have found that to be so?
Amen.
Oh, having given us his personal assurance that our eternal security is based in him. He tells us to go and to tell the world that they might be saved and that the message is called the gospel. We are told these words in Romans verse 16, that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is a message that every person in the world needs to hear. It is a message that is universal in its application. It is also a message that has the potential to change lives for the better. Praise our God. Our message today is the same message that Paul spoke to the Corinthian saints. In 1 Corinthians 15, turn with me there for a moment and look at what Paul said there, starting with that 15th verse. Paul says, for I delivered unto you, first of all. You see, Paul didn't change anything. Paul delivered what God had given him. He said, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to scriptures. Saints of God, as sister said, this is the only message that we have. We can't add anything to it. The message that we deliver, the message that we give is the same message that Paul is giving right here, where he said, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins. That is the message to the world today, to let the world know that Jesus Christ was our substitution. He went to the cross and died so that we might have life and have it more abundant in him. Sharing this gospel message is telling people what Jesus did for them, and to tell him, let them know what Jesus did for you and I and what Jesus Christ can do for them. That is the divine message this afternoon. It is the most powerful message that the world will ever hear, and it is a message that must be delivered to a lost world by the people of God. How many of us believe that this afternoon? How many of us believe that God saved you to be able to go out and tell someone else about the goodness of Almighty God? Oh, praise our God. I was speaking to my younger brother, Brother Myron, the other night on the phone, and we were talking. He lives out in Marysville area, and he goes to the Church of God there in Urbana, and he was telling me that he was sharing a message with a young man. He was sharing about how, about the Bible, and talking to them about their soul. And he said that the young man said to him, and I quote, I don't want to hear nothing about that old dusty Bible. Speaking about the word of God, my brother said to me, sis, he said, I don't know what is wrong with people today, but it oftentimes reminds me of what the word of God says. There's no fear of God before their eyes.
That's right.
We're living in a world of disrespect of the things of God, not only of disrespect for another man's life or disrespect for things just in general, but a total disrespect for Almighty God. Oh, he said that he was taken back at what the man had said. And I told him, and I'm telling you right now, saints of God, it even pains me to say it, but the words contained in that old dusty book will judge them in the end.
Amen.
We just studied last Lord's Day in our Sunday school lesson. The title was The Bible at the Judgment. And Jesus, I told it this to Brother Myron on the phone. I said to him, I know he knows these words. I told him in John 12 what Jesus said there. Turn with me for a moment. And you Bible students know, because we just learned it on last Lord's Day. He says in John 12, verse 48, he that rejected me, meaning those that refuse or will not accept Jesus Christ in his word, he said, and receiveth not my words, has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. He went on to say, I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. Praise our God. You see, there is no other message that will draw a soul to Almighty God. There is no other message that will save lost souls. Mankind better take heed to what they are saying about the things of God. I know we live in a world that talks so highly about freedom of speech. All you hear every time, my First and Second Amendment rights. But when your freedom crosses over the boundaries of Almighty God, you will have to stand before him in the judgment. I'm reminded of the words in Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter, verse 2. And you may say, well, Sister Renee, not a lot of people know about the Bible. But that's all right. You're still going to have to stand before God. People are saying a lot of things. Just be careful. Look at what the Word of God says in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 2. He says, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon... Be careful what you say.
Amen.
Therefore, let thy words be few. He said, for a dream cometh through a multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, he said, defer not to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Verse 5 goes on to say, better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. And then he says, suffer not thy foot to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel, suffer not thy mouth, thank you, sis, to cause thy flesh to sin. People are letting their mouths cause their flesh to sin. People are saying all manner of thing in our day and time. But he says, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error, or I didn't mean it, or that my bad, all this stuff that's going on in our world today. He said, wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? My. As children of God, our Heavenly Father has given us some liberty in him. However, we are warned in 1 Peter, these words. Oh, let us turn there for a moment and look at what it says in verse 16 of that scripture reading. 1 Epistle of Peter, chapter 2, verse 16 says these words. He said, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. See, you don't use your liberty or our freedom in God as some kind of a covering to be spiteful, to be mean, to be unkind or malice, or to say things that we know that is not according to God's word. He went on to say there, he said, but as the servants of God, he tells us to honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Oh, praise our God. In our script reading this morning, Jesus gave commission to his disciples. He said in verse 19 of our scripture reading, he told us to go ye therefore and teach all nations. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You see, water baptism is one of the basics of our faith in Christ Jesus. It is a divine message in and of itself, because it is an act of obedience for the new believer and also for the church. Oh, thank God that our God is still saving souls today, that we do have a new convert, although they may not be here today, who was recently saved. And later this month, this soul will follow the teachings of Jesus in obedience to his command to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You see, baptism not only pictures death, it also pictures resurrection. When Jesus died, those who believe in him died also. When Jesus rose from the dead, those who believe in him rose again. We were in him when he died on Calvary. We were in him when he came out of the grave. When a person believes on Jesus, they die to the old life of sin, and they are raised up to a new life in Christ Jesus. That's what the word of God tells you and I. Praise our God. They are given his life. Turn with me to 1 John 5, verse 12. He says here in the word of God, he that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. Now that we are saved, we are given abundant life in him, and we are given everlasting life. John 3:16, and we all know it well, says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Praise our God. You see, when a believer is lowered into the water and emerged, it symbolizes their death to their old sinful lifestyle. When they are raised out of the water, it symbolizes the fact that they have received a new life, a better life, an eternal life. And they're declaring that I've died to that old man and I've risen now with Jesus Christ. It's a picture of the new birth. It is an outward display of that which Christ has already done in the heart. You see, you got to be saved before you are baptized. You don't come to be baptized first and then turn around and get saved. No, you are saved first. You have repented of your sins. You have asked Almighty God to forgive you. You are living a life free of sin in Almighty God. And now you are being baptized. And when you are raised to new life. You have died. You're telling the world, I've died to that old man. Now I've risen with Christ Jesus. Praise our God. Oh, we thank God for his eternal word. Oh, because we have new life in Almighty God. We don't have to fear the devil anymore. We don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear Satan. We do not have to fear life in general. What he's saying, Sister Renee, all our world is in a time right now. People are in a time of distress. Folks are at wit's end, so to speak. They don't know what to do. They are running wild with conspiracy and many other things that are far from the truth of God's eternal word. You ask a soul today about things of God, and people will begin to talk to you about things that are not of Almighty God. They'll begin to talk to you about something they read on the internet. And the first thing they come up with, and I'm sorry to say, thanks to God, I've heard some folks who profess to be saved doing the same thing. Well, you know, Google says so-and-so, and this one says so-and-so and so-and-so. And if you go over and read this site, it says so-and-so and so-and-so. But what saith the scripture? What does the Bible say? God has already said it in his word. He said his word would not return unto him void, but it go forth the and serve the purpose for when he sent it. God also told us in the word of God, he said he changes not. He told us that also Jesus left on record that his word will not be destroyed. He did not come to destroy the law or the prophets, but he came to fulfill. And before one jot or one tittle of God's word will pass, he said heaven and earth would pass away. So I don't care what Google says, but what saith the Lord? What saith the scripture? I believe, thanks of God, If more professing saints would get into the Word of God and they began to study and read God's Word, we would see saints of God living better lives for God. We would see where saints of God, those who profess to be saints of God, won't be walking around and saying, oops, or walking around my bed. But the world is saying all these various things. No, we'll get into the Word of God and we'll know how to live a righteous and sober life for Almighty God. We'll be able to stand when all the world around us is running in chaos, when everything on every hand is happening. You know what I'm talking about, saints of God. When people get on the phone, they call you, and people are all upset. You as a saint of God can begin to pray. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. We don't have to have anxious spirits about everything
Amen.
That's going on.
Amen.
But we can take it to the Lord in prayer. We can call upon Almighty God. We can talk, have a little talk with Jesus. Praise our God. Praise our God. And it doesn't help, saints of God, in the time in which we're living right now, when we hear those that are in the ministry and they are adding credence to the things that are happening just to draw attention to themselves. The ministry is not about drawing attention to myself, but to draw souls to the kingdom of Almighty God. That is what God uses the minister for. He uses the minister to preach the Word of God, the unadulterated Word of God, so that souls might be saved. Romans 11, verse 36 says, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." See, all the things that we do is for the glory of Almighty God. God himself is the beginning. He's the middle. And he's in the end to the gospel ministry that we preach and teach. Praise our God. As the people of God, as we said, we have nothing to fear. Turn with me to 1 John 4. And look at what it says there in verse 18. He says these words, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Has your love for Christ Jesus been made perfect this afternoon? You see, love is a fundamental characteristic of our Heavenly Father. His love for us caused him to give his only begotten Son to die for our sins. Everything God does is guided and influenced by his love. The fear that perfect love casts out is the fear of God's judgment. We know that judgment day cometh for all those, but those of us who are in Christ Jesus, we know the love of God, and we're not fearful about the judgment day. Oh, if you say to me, "Well, I'm fearful, Sister Renee, about dying," I say, "Well, your love has not been made perfect, Almighty God." We don't need to fear anything about death. Oh, yeah, we all want to live upon this earth. I want to live to see my grands grow up and get jobs and get married and have families and various things. First of all, learn how to serve Almighty God. Oh, and I trust that the Lord will allow me. But if God doesn't see fit, my heart says amen to God's will.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm not going to fear when I get ready to leave here, because I've lived so that I can live again with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise our God. To the lost this afternoon, you are under judgment and you have plenty to fear. You see, the word of God is God's witness against you. But it doesn't have to be that way. Jesus died so that you could live. When a person gives their life to Christ, is in Christ, and is in Christ Jesus, the fear of judgment is gone. Why? Because we have been reconciled to Almighty God. Romans 8 verse 1 tells us that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. You see, God's judgment fell on Jesus at the cross so that you and I could be spared. Isaiah 53, look at what it says there in verse 6. It said, all we have sheep like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus' sacrifice satisfied God's justice and won his favor for all mankind. Jesus spoke often of his mission. In John 3:17, he says these words, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The only person who must face judgment is the one who rejects Jesus Christ. Verse 18 of that scripture went on to say, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Oh, God's love for us does not wax and wane.
Amen.
His love is not fickle. It's not an emotional kind of love for you and I. No, love, God's love for sinners is why Christ died on the cross. God's love for those of us who trust in Christ Jesus is why he holds us. We are told in John 10:29 in his hand, and he promises never to let us go. That divine love should take away any doubt and any fear. Jesus said these words in Luke 12:32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul left these words with young Timothy. He said, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. Do we believe that this afternoon, saints of God? But of power. See, God has given you and I spiritual power and of love and of a sound mind. Do you have a sound mind this afternoon? You see, when you have a sound mind, that means your mind is stayed upon Jesus Christ. You are not going to allow this world to get inside of your mind and cause you to think ill will of the things of Almighty God and cause you to doubt the very God that saved your soul this afternoon. Praise be to Almighty God. You see, a spirit of fearfulness and nervousness does not come from Almighty God. On Sunday, Lord willing, August the 29th, our new convert is going to be baptized, and baptism is not going to save her soul. God has already done that. According to her confession she made, we are merely going to allow her to publicly identify herself with the Lord Jesus Christ through her testimony of burying her whole life and rise with Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 15, turn with me there for a moment. Paul shows us that baptism is a representation of Christ's work of atonement. Praise God. He says there in verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you received and wherein ye stand. Saints of God, are we standing on the truth of God's eternal word? Do we believe what the Bible says? You know, we're living in a time right now, we say it over and over and over again, that we're living in a time where people are not taking the Bible as it is. We've been studying that in our Sunday school lesson. Many translations are out there, and many people are running after them, and many are being confused because they've taken and they've changed a word here, or they've removed something here so that the Bible, they say, can conform to the 21st century. The Bible doesn't need to conform to the 21st century, but the 21st century needs to conform to what thus saith the Lord. Amen. Praise our God.
Amen.
Yes, baptism is a representation of Christ's work of atonement. Paul went on to say in verse 2, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in the... Paul is letting the Corinthian believers know, and you and I today, we've got to be steadfast in our walk with God. We have a divine message of salvation, and don't allow the world to twist our minds, but allow us to stay in the word of God. He said, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the script. Do you believe he died according to word? Do you believe the word of God this afternoon? Then stand on the truth of God's word, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to scripture. Also, baptism is a witness of what happens at salvation. Baptism symbolizes that as Christ died, was buried, and rose again, so the believer has died and has been buried to self and now has a new life in Christ Jesus. Baptism symbolizes that a new believer is a new creature in Christ Jesus. You might wonder why the Holy Spirit had me to say new believer. Because those of us that have been saved for many years have already fulfilled righteousness. We have already been baptized, and we don't need to be baptized again unless we've fallen away from the things of Almighty God. And then Jesus in the Word of God, in Revelation, the second chapter, verse 5, he tells us these words. He lets us know if you've fallen away, then you've got to do your first works over. He says there in verse 5 of Revelation 2, he said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Then he said, and repent and do the first work, or else I will come into thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. You see, God has strict wording for us. We are to live according to the word of God. God doesn't have sinning Christians. God doesn't have sinning children. And then we turn around and try to tell a world about Jesus Christ, that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. But God has an avenue. If you fall away from God, Jesus says, remember from where you've fallen and repent. You got to repent and ask God to forgive you. You got to come make a confession to the saints of God. Let them know, saints of God, I've fallen from my steadfastness with God. I've asked God to forgive me. Will you forgive me likewise? You don't have to come in and reiterate all the things that you did or make a list and say, this is what I've done. No, God knows exactly what you've done. You've made that confession to Almighty God, but you still need to come to your brothers and sisters and let them know. Why? Because, saints of God, we believe that each of us that's living this life, we are living it according to the word of God. You believe that when I'm away from you and not here and standing in this pulpit, that I am living according to the word of God. There you, when I'm out on the street, when I'm in the store, in the marketplace, wherever I might be, you believe that I'm a living witness to Jesus Christ, that I'm not standing here in the pulpit one way and then leave out of here and be a terror all the way up Wayne Avenue, all the way to my home in Grove City. That's not of God.
Amen.
But if you feel that when you're doing it, then you need to repent and ask God to forgive you. Praise our God. Oh, I know it's tight, but it's right.
Amen.
Praise our God. Because I have friends. Many of them profess to be saved. Many of them went over to the Holy Land over there in Israel to say, oh, Renee, you got to go. You need to go with us so we can be baptized in the Jordan River.
Amen.
But I don't know why they wanted to go over there and to be baptized. Excuse little Liam. I don't know why they wanted to go over to be baptized. He wanted to be close, I guess, here. Amen. Amen. Praise our God. Because others have done it. Because it's a popular thing for them to do. But baptism is not done because it's a popular thing to do.
That's right.
But it is a commandment from Jesus Christ himself. Baptism is a witness to non-believers that a change has occurred in our lives.
Amen.
I ask you to go read in Joshua the fourth chapter, 21st through the 24th verse. When Joshua there at Gilgal, he had set up 12 stones from the Jordan River. The stones served as both a memorial to the saving acts of God and a way to teach the subsequent generations about the God who had delivered them. And the same kind of thing happens in the lives of persons who have yet to experience saving faith in Almighty God. You see, new believers oftentimes will ask friends and relatives and associates, and some of them may be non-believers, to come and to witness their baptism. Questions may naturally arise because we have young children here in the congregation, and questions may naturally arise in those who are unfamiliar with the baptism service. Children may ask, why are you putting that person under the water? Mm-hmm. Others will wonder about or even hear for the first time of the significance of baptism. The Holy Spirit can use the act of baptism as the initial entry point for someone to come to Jesus Christ. How many believe that to be so? Therefore, the act of baptism can serve as a powerful witness of the saving work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and salvation to the believer. Turn with me to Romans, the sixth chapter, and look at what it says there in the Word of God. Praise be to God.
Praise.
He says there in the third verse of Romans 3, chapter 6, verse 3, know ye not that as so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Praise our God. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk, what? In newness of life. Are we walking in this newness of life this afternoon? Oh, you see, rising up out of the baptism water relates to the resurrection of Jesus Christ being risen from the dead. When a believer comes up out of the watery grave after they've been baptized, he or she rises to a newness of life in Christ Jesus. Saints, take a little memory trip right now. Think back to when you were baptized. Praise our God. Amen. Think about how you felt when you knew that you could be baptized. Your sins had been forgiven, and you wanted to declare to this old world, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise our God. That you wanted the world to know, as Paul says there in Colossians 3, verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. You wanted everyone in the world to know, especially those that came in to see you being baptized. Oh, being a new creature in Christ Jesus means something this afternoon. It means that our lives have changed. Oh, saints of God, and to all that are listening in this afternoon, it means something to say that you are a born-again believer in Christ Jesus. I'm not talking about what our religious world out here today is talking about and what many of them are displaying. No, the Holy Spirit of God wants us to know, Sister Carol, that it's different now. Amen. Praise our God. Yes, it's different now that we are saved. We sang on last Lord's Day, glorious freedom. When I heard brother say this on Wednesday night, I said, thank you, Holy Spirit, for confirming the message, because I had already started working on it and God had already given this to me. But I'm going to go ahead. I know we heard it on Wednesday night, but oh, it's good deal for us to go back over these words. Look at what he says. Once I was bound by sin's galling fetters, chained like a slave, I struggled in vain. Oh, my God. But I received a glorious freedom. when Jesus broke my fetters in twain. Say that this afternoon, freedom from all the carnal affection, freedom from envy, hatred, and strife, freedom from vain and worldly ambition, freedom from all that saddens my life. He said freedom from pride and all sinful folly, freedom from love and glitter of gold, freedom from evil, temper, and anger, glorious freedom, rapture untold, freedom from fear with all of its torment. Are you free this afternoon? Freedom from care with all of its pain. Freedom in Christ, my blessed Redeemer, he who has ripped my fetters in twain. Glorious freedom, wonderful freedom. No more in chains, praise God. No more in chains of sin, I repine. Jesus, the glorious emancipator, now and forever, he shall be mine. Praise God. Praise God. Glorious freedom this afternoon, saints of God. Hey, wonderful freedom. Come on, saints. Praise our God. It's good to be free. Free by the blood of Jesus Christ. Free to be able to live a life for Jesus Christ. Free to know that our sins are under the blood and we have an eternal home in the heaven, not made with hands. Praise our God this afternoon. Praise God. Oh, praise God. See, that's what baptism symbolizes. It symbolizes a change in the new follower of Jesus Christ. When a new believer comes to faith in Jesus, he learns a new way of life. All of us that profess to be saved this afternoon have experienced a change of heart that resulted in a profound change of our mind. How many know what I'm talking about? God put a new desire within us that made us want to live differently than we used to live before. The bottom line is this, as believers, we look different. Yes, and we act different. And yes, we walk different. And you think about it, we talk differently. We do different than what we used to do. And we're doing different than what the world does right now. Why? Because the Word of God says our conversation is now in heaven. We are told that in Philippians 3, verse 20, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when we were baptized, we told the world that we had died to the old man, and now we have risen with Christ Jesus in newness of life. Is your life new this afternoon in Jesus Christ? And when we follow what thus saith the Lord, it reveals a divine message from Almighty God as a witness to the saving work of Jesus Christ. Turn to me for a moment, saints of God, in the book of Acts. Every time someone received the word of God and believed, they were baptized. Let us look at Acts, the second chapter there, and verse 38, and look at what it says there in that scripture. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 41 says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Oh, turn over to chapter 8 and verse 12, and look at what he says there in that scripture there. He says in verse 12, but when they believed, Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women.
Amen.
Chapter 9, verse 18. It says there, and immediately there fell from its eyes. It had been as it had been scales. And he received sight, and forthwith and arose and was baptized. Chapter 10, verse 48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. And then in Acts 16, verse 33, we are told these words. It says, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. You see, water baptism is a requirement, and it is an outward expression of an inward work of Almighty God. As we said, baptism saves no one, but everyone who is saved should be baptized.
Amen.
It's a statement of faith. It tells the world that you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You are publicly acknowledging our salvation and the spiritual work of God in our hearts when we follow him in water baptism. As a symbol, baptism visibly reenacts Christ's burial in the grave and also his resurrection of life. When we see a new believer walk into the baptismal pool, they go under the water and come up from the water. We are seeing what Jesus did to save our souls. It is a visible declaration that a person has willingly committed their entire life in humble obedience and service to Almighty God. I know saints of God, many in our day and time, question the need for one to be baptized. Many religions today don't believe in water baptism. And for that sake, many people in general don't believe in it. Some believe in baptizing babies. However, the word, the Bible, does not support that teaching.
Amen.
Baptism is only for believers who are of full age to comprehend and believe on Christ Jesus and who have professed their faith in him and have been born again. Turn with me to Matthew, the 3rd chapter. Oh, and look at what the word of God says. Christ Jesus' baptism was being questioned. You see, John, Jesus' baptism symbolizes the path we should follow. Verse 13 says, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so, meaning permit it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Yes, our Lord and Savior was sinless, and he did not need to be forgiven. We are told in 1 Peter 2:22, who knew no sin and neither was guile found in his mouth. So you may say, well, Sister Renee, why did Jesus want to be baptized? The answer is found in verse 2. Let us go back to the beginning of the scripture. Verse 1 says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. Our Savior's baptism identified with the ministry of John the Baptist. You Bible students know the story in Luke 1, 1 through 17, of how John, we are told in that passage, of how John was the forerunner for the coming Messiah, which was Jesus Christ himself. We are told in that passage of scripture, verse 17, turn with me there for a moment. Luke 1, verse 17. You can read all the rest in your leisure when you have time. 17 says, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people, praise our God, prepared for the Lord. Jesus' baptism symbolizes his coming ministry as a suffering servant who would die for the sins of the world so that others could become righteous. Thus his baptism fulfilled all righteousness. It symbolized his future death. During Christ's ministry, he used the symbolic language of immersion as a symbol of his coming, death, and resurrection. Turn with me to Mark, the 10th chapter. Praise our God. And look at what it says there in verse 38 of that 10th chapter of Mark. He said, but Jesus saith unto them, ye know not what ye ask. You drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. And they said unto him, we can. They had some self-confidence back there. And Jesus said unto them, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized with all shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. You see, that is why new converts are to be baptized. Our baptism symbolizes death to our old self and being raised up to a new life in Christ Jesus. Praise our Lord. Remember we read over in Romans, the 6th chapter. Turn with me there for a moment. Again. And you think about these words in Romans 6. Saints, I'm working on starting out with my other Bible because this one is really falling apart. Continue to pray that God holds it together. Amen?
Amen.
When he says there, we read verse 3 and 4, but let's go back and read it again. He said, know ye not that so many as of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him, baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of death, we shall be also in the likeness of what? His resurrection. He went on to say, knowing this, that our old man is crucified, has the old man been crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is what? Free from sin.
Praise
our God. The phrase buried with him speaks of our identification with Christ Jesus. When a child of God is baptized in water, we identify ourselves with Jesus Christ and with his death and resurrection. As we stated earlier in this message, baptism cannot and does not save. It has never saved a soul, and it never will. Regardless of what some religious leaders are saying today, our salvation, we are told, comes. As he says in Ephesians, that second chapter tells us how we are saved. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 5, verse 1. It lets us know, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Praise our God. So baptism doesn't save you. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Oh, the divine message for each and every one today is to come to Almighty God. And there is to be baptized. And when you are baptized, you're saying, I've died to the world. And I'm now alive in Christ Jesus. Praise our God. When we are saved, we were placed in Jesus, meaning we identify with him. When we are placed within him, his death became our death. This is a deep spiritual truth. As a child of God, we have already experienced death, not physical death, but we have died to that old man. Praise God. When Jesus was judged on Calvary, those who believed in him were judged also. And when he died, those who believed in him died also. Paul said it this way in Galatians, the 2nd chapter, verse 20, and I know you know it well. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I,
but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise our God. What Paul said is still true today, saints. That when Jesus died on the cross, those of us who are saved died with him. We have been made alive with him. Praise our God. Turn with me to Ephesians, the second chapter. Look at what it says there in verse 4. I love this scripture here in Ephesians. There's so much in Ephesians, saints of God, that you could have just a message on the book of Ephesians. Mm-hmm. Praise our God. Excuse me for wiping like that. But I thank God, amen, that I'm able to wipe, amen.
Amen.
He says in verse 4, "For God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." Oh, saints of God, think about it. When you go back to verse 1 of this scripture reading, think about where God found you and us. He said, "You have he quickened who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins." Mm-hmm. We were not worthy, saints of God. We were dead in trespasses and sins. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is why, saints of God, we don't walk around saying we are sinning Christians. When you're saying you're sitting in a heavenly place with Christ Jesus, our Savior knew no sin, and neither was guile found in his mouth. And when you belittle Christ Jesus by saying, "I can't help it, I can't help but sin," when you have the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit living within you, you mean to tell me a God who is able to speak and man lives, who is able to speak and man dies, a God who can make it rain on one side of the street, sunny on the other, and a God that can take and he can move an ocean, he can make tornadoes come, he can have earthquakes happen all over the earth, our God who do various things, we're told in the word of God, he's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent, he's almighty, he is the great I am, and you said he is not able to keep you from sinning. You're lying on almighty God.
Amen. Amen.
It's not about being able to keep you, it's that you don't want to be kept.
Yes.
Because this salvation is so important. We shouldn't want to live any other way but for Almighty God. Because Jesus told us in the Word of God these things, saints of God, is just how connected we are with our Savior. Turn with me to John, the 15th chapter. Jesus taught this to his disciples then, and he's teaching it to you and I right now. He says there in verse 5, "I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in I him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." Praise our God. Let us go back to verse 4. He said, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me." Are you abiding in Jesus? Praise our God. Amen. If you're abiding in Jesus, then you're able to live a life free of sin in this old world. That means you've been planted together. We are sharing one life together with Almighty God. And now that we are saved and have been born again and regenerated, our identity is no longer with Adam, but it is now in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. We are no longer just ordinary human beings. No, we are spiritual. Oh, yes, we live in this flesh. However, our walk is spiritual. We are told these words in Romans, the 8th chapter and verse 8. He says these words, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ,
He is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Come on, saints of God. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Oh, that's the old life. We are not debtors to this flesh. We don't live after this flesh no longer. We have crucified this flesh in Christ Jesus. He said, for if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you do through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Are you a son of God this afternoon? Then praise Almighty God. Praise our God. Then we are told in 1 Corinthians 6, these words. Look at what Jesus said. The new creation, we are linked with the life of Jesus Christ. He says there, starting in verse 15, know ye not that your bodies are the member of Christ? See, that's where your union comes in with Jesus Christ. Our bodies are the members of Christ. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. See, that's why we have to live a pure life now that we're saved and sanctified and living for Almighty God. He said, what? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two said, he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Are you joined unto the Lord this afternoon? Flee fornication. Look what he tells us to flee. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. We're living in a sinful time. Amen?
Indeed.
Oh, my. I wonder how many would think about this, realizing all these ones out there that are in intimate relationships outside of marriage. That is fornication. Yeah, the Bible says marriage is honorable. The bed undefiled, whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. God ordained it in marriage, not outside of marriage. He said, he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. What know ye not? Come on, saints. That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. See, these bodies are the temple of Almighty God.
Amen.
That's why we just don't put on anything.
Amen.
That's why we just don't wear any old thing. And we don't do any old thing with this body. He said, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. See, we're living in a time right now, and I know we have saints that have them because that's what they did. They were out there in the world, but they are now new creatures in Christ Jesus, and they have them covered. But we're living in a time where we have so many that are right now, you have them with, they're called sleeves. They have so many tattoos going all down, up and down both arms, up and down their neck, all in their face and on their head, all around the back of their neck. Oh, sometimes I wonder to myself, how could you allow that to happen? I heard when that is done, it burns or something like that. My. Many are marring up the temple of Almighty God in order to walk around and to show someone a heart or have someone's name written in them. That is not of God.
Amen.
You don't have to wear the Ten Commandments on you. They're already in the Bible.
Amen. Amen.
All you have to do is buy a Bible.
Amen. Amen.
Praise our God. My.
Mm-hmm.
He says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. Praise our God. I know we have a lot of young people. And I say to them, be careful. Know the word of God.
Amen.
Know the word of God. I know it's popular.
It's a popular thing. You see it all around us, everywhere you go. And I think, and I always go back, and it says it in the Word of God. Say to our young people and those who may be, well, I got to go get a tattoo to put a cross on me. No, you don't. No, you don't. Look at what it says in Leviticus. You can turn there for a moment, 19. You may say, Sister Renee, it's just getting, no, it's not. It's the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, there was a time back in the Old Testament when God sent Samuel. The elders came there and told him, we want to be like everybody else. It's not good to want to be like everybody else. Because not everybody else following God. I want to follow those who are following Jesus Christ. You follow me as I follow the Lord. And we're living in a time right now everybody wants to be following someone else. I'm teaching little Tatum to be a leader, not a follower.
Amen.
You set the example. I share this with you. We were out the other day, and he was riding his bike, and the little boy down the street had thrown his bike down. And so Tatum comes down the street, and he was riding his, and he decided he got off. And next thing you know, he threw it down. I said, what'd you throw yours down for? Because little boy down the street. I said, you're not a follower. You be a leader. That bike was bought with good money. You need to throw your bike down. Pick it up. Mm-hmm. To teach our children, they don't have to follow after everything. Some things are going to lead you away from Almighty God. The Bible said, train them up. Yeah, we've trained you up. And the Bible and the Word of God stands on what it says, because the Bible's going to be with you even when you're out there doing it. You'll be convicted in your mind that you know it is wrong, but someone will convince you to override that, override what God has said in his Word, override what you've been taught from your mother and father. They'll sit there and they'll try to tell you, well, you know, that's old-fashioned stuff. You go to an old-fashioned church where they still sing hymns or they still do this. Well, that's all right. I want to be in the old-fashioned. It's the old-fashioned thing that's going to get us into the kingdom of God. Because he said in the Word of God, we were told that back in Jeremiah. We're going to get here to Leviticus. Hold for a second. But he tells us in Jeremiah, what did he tell them? He said, ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And walk therein. Saints of God, we've got to ask for the old path and stay in that way. Because yes, there's a lot of ways that are out there, but there's only one straight and narrow way. And that straight and narrow way is in Jesus Christ. And we've got to let our children know that. But look at what it says in Leviticus. He says there in that 19th chapter, verse 28, ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Praise our God.
Amen.
You don't need to have something drawn on you.
Praise
our God. You want to draw? Get out a piece of paper and draw on it. Praise our God. Oh, thank God for his word. I believe in this way of living.
Amen.
I believe
Amen.
That Jesus has changed my life. I know the scripture quite well, saints of God, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. But I believe it's always worth repeating it, because someone might be listening in that don't know it. Where he says in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Also in Ephesians 4, in this passage of scripture, Paul is speaking to the saints there at Ephesus about Christian maturity or maturing in the things of Almighty God. You see, when we became children of God, our lives changed. And that change of life resulted in a change in our walk, as we said. How many know what I'm talking about? We were called to put off some things once and for all. The ways of the old man, who we can see is growing worse. Look at our world day by day. But we are called as saints of God to put on once and for all the new man, who has been created in righteousness and true holiness. And then we are told to have holiness, because the Word of God tells us in Hebrews 12, verse 14, holiness without no man shall see the Lord. If you don't have holiness, you're not going to see Almighty God. Our God requires holy living from his people. When a new believer comes to faith in Jesus Christ, he learns a new way of life,
a new way of living. You experience a change of heart that results in a profound change of mind. God puts a new desire within his children. How many know what I'm talking about? That makes us want to live differently. And then we used to live before. Look at what it says there in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 19. He said, who being past feelings, having given themselves over unto lasciviousness, meaning lustful. He said, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitfulness. Saints of God, we got to put off that old man. We got to be the new man. He went on to say, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Have you been renewed in your mind? This is why Paul, and you know it well, saints of God, over when he was talking to the brethren over in Romans, that 12th chapter, you can read it in your leisure, but I trust this Holy Spirit, allow me to quote it to you, when he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then Paul went on to say, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Has your mind been renewed to the things of Almighty God? He went on to say, and that you put on the new man, which after God, come on, saints of God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lying. Oh my God, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Then he went on to say, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Oh, my, my, my. Now that we are saved, our day-to-day walk is marked by Christ-like standards. We are Christ-like in how we act. We are Christ-like in how we react to circumstances. Brother PJ prayed about it.
Amen.
You see, this is for all of us. I know when I was unsaved, I had a short fuse or a short temper. When I received Christ Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I had to learn how to control my anger when something would offend me. You see, under the old woman or old man, I was the type of person that when I got tired of your nonsense, I would just say, girl, please, and walk away from you. I didn't want to hear what you had to say. But now that I'm in Christ, I had to earnestly ask God to help me to work on that behavior.
Amen.
All saints of God, don't get me wrong.
Amen.
The enemy is still trying. Oh, just because I stand in the pulpit, that doesn't mean the enemy still doesn't try. But by the grace of God, I'm determined that that old Renee is long gone. Praise our God. That the old account was settled long ago.
Amen.
Down on my knees. Praise my God.
Amen.
I'm a new woman in Christ Jesus. And I know that this is not only for me, but it's for all of each and every one of us. I know a lot of professing Christians are friends of mine. They share with me a lot of things. And they'll tell me, well, I'm not there yet, Renee. But you better get there.
Amen.
You better get to the point where you can live for Jesus Christ no matter what's going on. If you want to live in heaven when you leave this world. Because remember, Jesus Christ, I have friends right now professed to be saved and said, well, I'll never forgive. If I forgive them, I'm not going to forget. Share with someone the other day about what Jesus said about forgiveness. See, we are free to refrain from getting even, even lashing back out against somebody. But Christ expects us to forgive them. Forgive them to the same extent that you and I have been forgiven of him. Now that we are new creatures, we are Christ-like in how we interact with others. Jesus told his disciples, and you and I are claiming to be his disciples today,
Look at what he told him in Mark, the 11th chapter. Look at these words, what he says there in verse 26. Saints of God, when I was reading and studying for this message and was going back and reading what God was giving to me, look at what he says here. He said, but if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. And then turn with me to Matthew 18. And look at what he says there in that scripture. Look at how Jesus states it here in this verse here. He says there, he says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts, did you notice that word? If ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Jesus said, if ye from your heart forgive not, that means something, saints of God. Why? Because we are told in another passage of scripture in Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. That is why we must have a heart transplant. We must have a change of heart when we're serving Almighty God. Oftentimes we'll hear people say, many will say to people, just trust your heart when someone is making a decision. Oh, if you do not have the heart of God, you need to be careful in telling someone to do that. Yeah. Why are you saying that, Sister Renee? Turn to Jeremiah and what he says in Jeremiah, the 17th chapter and verse 9. He said, the heart is deceitful above all things. So when you tell somebody, you just trust your heart, honey. Oh, you're letting them know your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. But now that we're children of God, praise our God. Oh, we got a new heart. Praise our God. Oh, I know we know it well, saints. I know we know Ezekiel 36:26 quite well. But thank God that he gave us that new heart. Thank God he gave us a heart that will serve him. A change of heart. Realizing that our heart that we had, We were not capable of saving ourselves, but we needed a Savior to save us so that we could get a new heart in Almighty God. Oh, that's what he told us in the Word of God. Turn with me there for a moment so we can read what it says in Ezekiel. As I said, we know it well, but it behooves us to go back and just look at it just a little more so we'll know exactly what we have in Christ Jesus. Praise our God. Oh, he says there, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart. Praise be to Almighty God out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Do you have a heart of flesh this afternoon? And if you don't, do you want to have a heart of flesh? Then come to Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus Christ, and Jesus changed your heart. Oh, I say to the sinner this afternoon, to those who may be listening in and don't know Jesus, the message of Jesus Christ is here. When Sister Holm asked for this song to be sang, it satisfied my soul. Sister Holmes did not know that the message this morning would be the divine message, which is salvation. And this song is full of salvation is unmeasured grace. Salvation brings supreme delight. Salvation brings abiding peace. Salvation makes us happy here, and salvation richer far than gold. It talks about salvation. And that's what it's about and being in Jesus Christ, is to have salvation in him. I say to the soul listening to this afternoon, and does not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, will you come to him? His divine message is that he will save your soul. That is the commission that God gave me to preach to you. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You know, someone asked,
Sister Renee, why do you teach about salvation when mostly everyone in the congregation is saved? But we have souls that are listening in, and the Spirit of the Lord gives me these messages. I don't know what the Spirit of the Lord is going to give me. Sometimes I'll see a billboard and God will give me a message from a billboard. Many times I've read the Sunday school lesson and God will give me a message from a Sunday school lesson or something said on Wednesday night, a testimony. And next thing I know, God is waking me up with a message to bring to the people of God. Let us be fully committed to our salvation, saints of God. Some soul is watching us. Some soul needs to be saved this afternoon. Yeah. It may be a family member right in our own home. It may be a child. It may be a neighbor. But they need to be saved. We want to be fully, remain fully committed to living for Jesus Christ no matter what. We don't want to be like Demas in the Word of God. You know, we studied that. I believe it's Philemon, verse 24. He was a close friend, companion of Paul. But he turned his back on Jesus. 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Don't allow this world to draw us away from Almighty God. Don't start out fast living for the Lord and then turn around and end up turning on Almighty God. But be as Paul says in the Word of God in Romans. When Paul says there in that scripture, Romans is the 8th chapter. Turn with me there for a moment. We're coming to a close, saints of God. We're wrapping it up for Almighty God. But look at what Paul says. Paul said, who shall separate me from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? We're living in a time of so much distress and tribulation. Or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sore. Should danger take us from the love of Almighty God? He wants to say, it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. Saints of God, the world does not like you and I. They don't like how we live for Almighty God. So he said, as for your sake, there, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. See, Christ loved us so much that while we were yet sinners, the word of God said he died for you and I. Praise our God. He said, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, this is what Paul is saying.
Yeah.
And we've got to get here, saints of God, too. If you say, Sister Renee, I'm not there yet, I say, get there. Because he said, I am persuaded. We should be able to say that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Paul even clarified all of that. You don't know what's liable to come. We're here sitting in the house of God right now. We don't know what the world has for us when we walk out those doors. He said, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to what? Separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, saints of God, shall separate us from the love of God. Praise our God.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise our God. I encourage you in your leisure to read Colossians, the 3rd chapter. I know we've read it before. But read that scripture there where Paul said, if you be risen with Christ, he told us what to do. He said, seek those things which are above. Turn with me to Mark, the 1st chapter, as we bring this message to a close. Mark 1, verse 9. It says, and it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And he straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You see, in this passage of scripture here, John the Baptist had blazed a trail as the forerunner for Jesus Christ. Back in the fourth verse of this scripture, it tells us that John the Baptist was baptizing. He was preaching the word of God. And it says, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. The people who came to John were publicly confessing their sins, submitting to the baptism as a symbol of their changed life. When Jesus came to John for baptism, we read it in Matthew, that third chapter, John at first refused to baptize him. You see, John and Jesus were cousins. John probably knew the kind of life Jesus lived. John knew that if anyone was holy, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus told him to suffer it to be so for now, for thus it becometh to fulfill righteousness, all righteousness. The phrase to fulfill all righteousness means that Jesus was baptized to fulfill every ordinance of Almighty God. God was working through John the Baptist in those days. And Jesus wanted to identify with the message that John was bringing to the people. You see, the message that John was bringing to them was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So the message to those this afternoon is Jesus Christ is still calling you to come. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is a divine message. It is something that mankind needs to know in our day and time in which we live right now. Mark tells us that the heavens were open and the Spirit in the form of a dove descended on the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about it, the heavens open. The Spirit came in the form of a dove. The dove was the offering of a man. You can read it back in Leviticus, the fifth chapter. You see, our Savior did not come to live for himself, but our Savior came to live and die for you and I and all mankind. This is the divine message this afternoon. He's already made the sacrifice with his life, and he wants you to give your life to him so that you can live for Jesus Christ. I say to our new convert, we are holding you up in prayer as we await your day of testimony of your death, resurrection, and personal salvation. You have declared that you believe, that you are saved, and with that belief, you will be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit of God. I ask everyone in your leisure to read Acts, the 8th chapter, 27 through 38. God bless you is my prayer.
Amen. Praise our God.
Praise God. Amen. Thank God for his word. Truly a divine message. A message. A message from above. Amen. Any message that we receive on salvation is a divine message. Amen. Thank God for his word today. This is a message of love. Because in love, God sent this message for all who are unsaved and for all who have saved, because we dare not forget what we were delivered from.
Amen.
We don't want to at any time let slip those things that once we knew.
Amen.
And so we thank God for this message today. A divine message, a message of salvation.
Amen.
Thank God. Thank God for his message and for his messenger. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Shall we stand? Amen. 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 And it's required, it's necessary for this gospel to be preached in all the world. It is necessary, according to God's commandments, according to the scriptures, that once we have confessed, once we've been saved and washed in the blood of Jesus and confessed his name, confessed him as our Savior, it behooveth us also to fulfill all righteousness by going on and being baptized. Amen. If we are to fulfill all righteousness, even as God has commanded. And so we thank God for this message today, this divine message. Evening Light. Shall we turn to our Evening Light to page 481? Thank God for his word. Is your all on the altar?
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly fervently prayed, but you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of his word and have peace and contentment away? You must do his sweet will to be free from all ill on the
to the Lord, putting everything on the altar, not holding any little piece of your old, the old life, because we have to be, even as Pastor preached, we have to walk in newness of life. We have to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All those things have to be on the altar. Amen. That second verse said, would you walk with the Lord in the light of his word? The only way we can walk with him is to throw off all those old things.
Amen.
It's to have peace and contentment always. You must do his sweet will to be free from all ill. And by ill here, we're not talking about sickness. We're talking about the badness that comes from holding on to old sins, holding on to old attitudes, holding on to old ways. We have to be new in Christ Jesus. Because on the altar, your all, you must lay. We have to be purged from that old life.
Amen.
Every part of that old life.
Amen.
Amen. Laying everything on the altar. And letting the Holy Spirit control every part of our lives. That's the only way we can be fully blessed.
Amen.
The only way that we can have peace. Because we can't have one foot in the kingdom of God and one foot in the kingdom of the devil.
That's right. Amen.
Or even one foot in the world.
Amen.
Amen. We have to yield our body and soul to the Lord. Pastor Jenkins preached about, you know, when we're given to the Lord, the way that we walk, the way that we talk, what we wear, those things that we take pleasure in, all of those things are yielded to the Lord and not to this world, not to this old world that we profess to have given up. Because when we follow the Lord in baptism, those old things are buried. That's our testimony. And that we're walking in newness of life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we want to be sure that everything, that we've given up all, that our all is on, has been on the altar. And we understand that in the Old Testament, when they would put burnt offering on the altar, that would get burned up. It would not be saved. It was all on the altar. And it was sacrificed.
Amen.
And so we don't put something on the altar and then take it off the altar.
That's right. That's right.
So if we've gone to an altar and we've poured out our heart to God and asked for forgiveness of sins, then that's left there. That's not taken back. And we don't hold some little portion back and not put it on the altar before the Lord. We want to be sure that our all is on that altar. If there's anyone who's unsaved, you can come and bow humbly before God. He will forgive you of your sins, but you have to come to an altar and give up all those old things in order to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. We'll sing those last two verses.
Amen. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed. Till our bodies you.
chorus again. God, and God knows if you're fully yielded, and you know if you're fully yielded. And if there's one with a heart that's not fully yielded to God, and they know it, then that's a lot. You don't have peace. You don't have rest, because every time the word is preached, the Lord will bring it back. A spirit of God will speak to your heart. Every time you read the word, the Spirit of God will speak to your heart and say, that you have not given that over. God is able. His power is able to free us from sin. His power is able to free us from our old ways. We thank God for his power. Amen. I'm going to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, dear God, for your word. We thank you, dear God, for this dear soul, dear God, who has come forward, Lord, to talk to you, dear God. Lord, to, Lord, seek you, dear Father. Lord, you know, Lord, what she stands in need of. You know, dear God, what she's seeking, Lord, from thee. And Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would grant, dear Father, grant her the desire, Lord, that she has of thee. Lord, grant her petition, dear Father, Lord, that she is making of thee, dear God. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know, dear Father, Lord, that you've said, dear God, that you would bless those who come to you, dear God. And Lord, those who come to you, you would in no wise cast out. And so, Father, we're praying, dear God, that you would bless her, dear God. Help her, Lord, to get satisfaction in her soul, dear God. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would bless each one of us, dear Father. And we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would help each one of us, Lord, to measure to all of your word, dear God. Lord, give us grace, Lord, to walk in the light of your word. Give us the grace, Lord, to walk, dear Father, according to that you have commanded us, dear Father. Lord, when our minds go back, Lord, and consider, Lord, the old life that we lived, even as Pastor preached, dear God, about, Lord, how she was, Lord, before, Lord, you saved a soul. And, Lord, each one of us, Lord, can go back, Lord, and think of situations, Lord, and times and ways, dear God, when we didn't know you in the pardon of our sins, Lord, how, dear God, we did those things, Lord, that were not pleasing in your sight, dear God. And, Lord, we know, dear God, that you have rescued us, dear Father. Lord, we know, dear God, that your word, Lord, showed us, Father, that there was something better, Lord, that there was a refuge, Lord, that there was a way out of the life that we were living, dear God. And so, Father, we thank you, dear God, Lord, for showing us that way, dear God. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would help us, Lord. You showed us newness of life. You showed us, Lord, the path. You showed us the way, dear God, and to walk therein. And so, Father, we pray, dear God, that you would give us the grace, dear Father. Lord, give us the strength, Lord, to walk, Lord, in the path that you have set for our feet, dear God. Help us, dear God, to be godly, dear Father. Help us, Lord, to be righteous, dear God. Lord, help us to be sober, dear Father. Lord, help us, dear Father, in this present world to be examples of believers, dear God, according to your word. Help us to know, dear God, Father, that you're able, dear Father, to keep us, dear Father, even from the dangers and the present wickedness, Lord, in this world, Father. Lord, we can be as lights that shine, dear God. And so, Father, we pray, dear God, that you would help us to measure to your word that was preached today. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, dear Father, for what you are doing for us, dear God. We thank you, dear God, even, Lord, for the trials that come, dear Father. For we know, Lord, that you're strengthening us, dear God. You're establishing us, dear Father, Lord, in your word and in your kingdom. And so, Lord, we pray, dear God, you would help us, Lord, to, Lord, measure to your word. Help us, Lord, to go back and read it over again, dear Father. Read the scriptures, dear God, that have been recommended to us by your spirit, dear Father. Lord, that we may be strengthened, dear God, in your word. Lord, we don't want to frustrate the grace of God that we receive through the blood of Jesus. So help us, Lord, to walk soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, dear God. Truly, Lord, measuring, Lord, to all you have called for us to be. Help us, Lord, if there's anything, Lord, that's not, that's there, dear God, that would be an impediment. Lord, we don't want anything, dear God, to be a stumbling block, Lord, to come between us and our Savior. So, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would help us, dear God, even to search ourselves by your word, dear God, and to be sure, Lord, that everything has been altered, dear God. Lord, that we may be blessed and have peace and sweet rest, dear God. And when your son Jesus comes again, Lord, that we may meet him in peace, dear God. Lord, that we can rejoice at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, dear Father. Lord, have your way in us. And we thank you, Lord, for the divine message of salvation that was preached today. Lord, if there are those, dear God, who heard this message, dear Father, Lord, who are unsaved, Lord, we pray, dear God, that your spirit would continue to preach to them, dear God. Lord, that they may be redeemed. Lord, that they may be rescued, dear Father, from a miserable life of sin, Lord, before it's everlasting too late. And Lord, if there's someone who is listening, dear God, Lord, and they haven't put it all on the altar, dear God, Lord, that there's something, Lord, that's still there in their life, dear God, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you'd help them, Lord, to just be honest with themselves and honest with you, dear God. Lord, bow down and pray before you and cry out to you, dear God, for Lord, you're able, Lord, to save to the uttermost, dear God. Lord, you don't do anything by half, but you're able to save to the uttermost all that will come to you in faith. Have your way, Lord, in our lives, dear God. Lord, we'll give you glory and praise, and we thank you, Lord, for your message, Lord, and for your servant. Have your way in our lives, Lord, and be glorified in us. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise our God. Amen. God bless you, Sister Kiba. Lord bless you. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Lord bless. Thank God for his word. Just as the message is going forth, and it took my mind back to when I was baptized. It took my mind back. I remember the instruction, the messages that were preached leading up to that time. And God's word is the same. It's the same. And it just took my mind back, how I was listening and was attentive and wanted to know and wanted to understand. thank God for his word. Amen. And there are so many who needed to hear that message this morning. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise our God. May God bless you continually. Amen. Our announcements for Sunday, I believe today is the 15th, rather than the 8th, 15th of August. 2020 or 2021. I wasn't off by a week. I was off by a year, wasn't I? Amen. 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 No, we don't want to go back. We want to press on. Amen. Always pray one another during the week. 1 Samuel 12:23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Amen. And aren't we being taught the good and the right way? Amen. Thank God. God willing, food pantry services are scheduled for Saturday, August 28th, 8 a.m. until 10 a.m. If anything changes, we will let you know. Please pray for this work. Services, Lord willing, will be Sunday, August 29th, following morning service. And that will be, God willing, baptism, feet washing, and the Lord's Supper. The canister is always available for contributions toward the November turkey giveaway to the community. Prayer meeting and Bible study will be conducted at 7 p.m. by phone, and we thank God for Bible study. Amen. Truly, truly blesses my soul. And remember the Byrene. Happy birthday blessings to Sister Marguerite Johnson today and Haley Jenkins tomorrow, August 16th. Amen. God. We thank God for our bus drivers and just continue to pray for them. Amen. Next week, Brother Pierre Johnson Jr. is scheduled to drive, so lift him up in prayer this week. Our thought for today, the problem is sin, not skin. The answer is grace, not race. Jesus died for all.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Praise our God. And I trust you'll also read the insert. I have it. All right. I'll read. Amen. How big is God? A boy asked his father, Dad, what is the size of God? The father looked up at the sky and saw a plane and asked his son, what is the size of this plane? The boy replied, it is very small. I can hardly see it. The father took him to the airport, and as they approached a plane, he asked, now, my son, how big is this plane? The boy replied, wow, Dad, it's huge. Then the father told him, God's size depends on how close or far you are to him. The closer you are to him, the greater and greater he will be in your life. Amen. Praise God. So true. Amen. Amen. We thank God for blessing. We thank God that even as the coronavirus has its ups and its downs and back up again. But God has blessed. God has blessed us.
Amen.
And Pastor Jenkins has brought in those three boxes over on the first row right here on the overflow from this side that have packages of wipes. And she brought those in so that each member of the congregation can get a package of wipes. Or more than one, if you'd like, more than one package of wipes. And they're Would you hold one up so they can see what they look? There they are. Yes. Amen. And so we thank God. We thank Pastor Jenkins for watching for our soul and body. Amen. Thank God. And we know that, you know, every Sunday before Sunday school begins, she comes in and sprays down all the benches, wipes off all the door handles, wipes off the pulpit, wipes off everything up here. So then we wipe our table for our children downstairs for Sunday school lessons. We have our Sunday school lessons to just ensure that we're doing what we can. The Lord, we trust the Lord to do the rest. Amen. And so there are packages of wipes, and she brought them in for the congregation. So you're welcome to them. That's why she brought them. She brought them for us. So that makes us kind of special, doesn't it? Amen. Amen. Makes us very special. Amen. Thank God. All minds are clear. Shall we stand? Amen. Thank the Lord. God bless you. And Sister Kiba, we're so glad that Brother Pierre was able to go and pick you up. And amen. Amen. Oh, my. My, my, my. Yes, I've had those too. Time to time, but thank God. Amen. Your mind was to get here. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And we're so thankful that Sister Lillian and Sister Smith and who's the third one? Brother Javier were able to be on the phones today to hear the message. Thank God for them. Amen. Thank the Lord. We'll ask if Brother Jackson, if you would dismiss us with prayer, please. Yes, Lord, we got our portion. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. Remember the home of Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Praise God.
Wonderful.
Thank God.